Here tonight. I always wish that reading was a little longer when you're sitting up here. It'd go on 15, 20 minutes, but it's not. It's an important part of the fourth step. It's in the middle. It comes right after the resentments. And like it says here, it's a corroding thread. It went through every aspect of our lives. Evil and corroding thread. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. And let me tell you, let me start how my sponsor had asked me to do the fears. As it says, I put them down on paper, even though I had no resentment or connection with them. We reviewed them. I made another list of my fears. I had 89 fears. Right now, I can't think of a one of them, to tell you the truth. But I was doing the writing, so I was used to that. And I was really, at this point in time, just following my sponsor's lead. And doing exactly as he was asking me to do. Which was the hard part, you know. The fear for me, is really not doing anything. The fear comes from me is thinking about doing something. The fear tonight was not doing what I'm doing right now, because in the present there is no fear. The fear for me was driving up here and thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be sitting in front of people talking about the fear. And of course, little fear bumps into you. And, it's a really, for me, it was really important to understand my fears. It felt like my life started off really as a heroin addict when I was 15. And it continued on through that, through the 60s and the 70s. And then as time went on, alcohol became involved at a more prevalent level, and then whatever else substance came on. So I built up a lot of fear, and a lot of it was afraid of running out, basically getting towards the end of the bottle. Oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to get this or that? Coming down to my last shot, what am I going to do? Where am I going to get the money? My life was built on fear. I was a Catholic school kid. Went all 12 grades in Catholic school, and I was trained to respond to fear. The nuns they were experts at it. You know, they really were. They maybe go to the bulletin board, write something on the blackboard when they know I didn't know the answer, you know. It was just the fear of that, fear of making a mistake. And fear of making a mistake has lasted basically all my life. Really started in that area. Going forward, when I thought I was going to get dope sick, I would run out and rob a drugstore and go through the window or through the roof or whatever it was. And so I was very proactive about just thinking about getting sick or thinking about having the DTs, going through something like that. That set the train of motions, the circumstances for me. That's what I acted out of all the time, was fear. You know, if I was in a bar room and I thought somebody was going to throw a punch, fear would build up into me so much that I would go over and throw the first punch. Guy might not even have been thinking about that, you know. The fear for me was around the pool table when I was younger. I would swear that was my 50 cents on the table. And fear of not being able to play a game of pool created this intense feeling in me where I would lash out. And usually I was under the influence. So that's the kind of fear that I kind of had. I put them all down on paper. You know, I had all the usuals, I think. Fear of success, fear of failure. There's basically four, actually there's six categories of the basic fears. Fear of not getting what I want, fear of losing what I have, fear of other people's opinions, and fear of confrontation. The other two are fear of annihilation and fear of abandonment. So those six really incorporate every bit of fear that I responded to over the course of my life. Fear of other people's opinion was big. Fear of not getting what I want made me to respond early to that, maybe to do things that I would never have done had I not been under the influence. And that was the case for my whole life. Simply the case. And I couldn't get out from under it. And so I listed them all down. You know, I put them all down on paper. Some of them I didn't have any resentment towards. You know, even it says, even though we have no resentment or connection with them, we asked ourselves why we had them. Was it because self-reliance had failed us? And, you know, I wondered what that self-reliance was. And basically, it's that self-will. My self-will ran out on me all the time. I could only get so far within my own mind to be able to figure something out. And then my irrational thoughts came in. And I would do anything and everything to get what I wanted. And that's how I looked at it. You know, there's another, as we're going through here, it says, you know, we looked at the fear. We think it ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. And I've thought a lot about that because when the writers were putting this together, why would they classify it with stealing? Did they mean stealing like candy or stealing books or stealing money or something like that? And I'm not sure it didn't mean something different. I'm not sure. What fear did for me is it stole opportunities. It stole relationships. It ultimately stole my soul. It stole all of those things. It didn't steal really anything else, but it was classified. I felt like those opportunities, if I could only get this promotion, if I only had the nerve to go up and say, listen, you know, or you know, make it known that I wanted to progress in my field, you know, but I couldn't. I had no courage. The only courage I had, I either stuck in my arm or came out of a bottle, one of the two places. And it usually started with the bottle and ended with the needle, or started with the needle and ended with the bottle. And ultimately, at the end of my drinking, it was the drinking and the narcotics ultimately that got me. But I was out of my self-will had run riot with me, but self-will was gone. And fear had set in. Oh my God, what am I going to do if I get sober? What am I going to do if I start doing this work? And it actually works, you know. That was my fear. You know, we put them on paper. It says, perhaps there is a better way. We think so, for we are at a new, different basis, the basis of trusting, relying on God. We trust infinite God rather than finite selves. And so I'm just a human being, I'm very finite. My thinking is very limited when it comes to alcohol and drugs. I think that I'm pretty reasonable in all my other affairs. I was in all my career. Pretty reasonable, what I thought pretty fair individual. But as soon as the afternoon came at 4 o'clock, I turned into a different person. I was down at a town landing, you know, with a 12-pack or a 30-pack, and I was just drinking as fast as I could. Because I wanted to catch up. You know, I'd been in work all day and I'd probably been doing pills, but I was afraid I was going to be like sober. So I had to drink fast, power drink, to get this something inside of me. And what I really was looking at was fear. Fear of not getting what I want. And what I wanted right then was something to fill me up. You know, something that I was missing and I didn't really know what it was. So when I think of fear, when I think about it being classified with stealing, that's the kind of context I look at it in. And of course, it says here, you know, when we had the fear problem, or, you know, when it was cocky, it was worse. And I played a little ball you know, when I was younger, and I wasn't all that good, but I was, I played after the whistle a little bit, and I was a trash talker. And so that trash talking just made me feel like I was better than I actually was. And it would piss people off and make them make mistakes. It would make me make mistakes. It would inevitably lead to some kind of altercation. It was fear, you know. I was fighting out of fear. I was afraid to look weak. I was afraid somebody would say, he's just a coward. He ain't got nothing, you know. And so that's why I would talk. That's why you see people, you know, these inside jokes sometimes. You know, you school, people have these cliques, these little, you know, fear of not fitting in. Fear of confrontation was another one. Not so much with the drug dealers or the bartenders or anything like that. Fear of confrontation for me mainly come in on when I didn't pay my bills and the phone rang. You know what I mean? And somebody was on the other end of the line kind of confronting me, you know. And right away, I'd be fearful with it. Like, I'd get arrogant. I'd say, like, what do you want? And they would say, well, your payment is due. And I'd go, yeah, I know that, you know. But inside, I would really be scared. I'd be scared that somebody would come to the door and ring the bell. I'd be scared when the mailman came. I was frightened to death all the time, and I never knew it. Absolutely never knew it. But I never knew what to do about it, because when my fear was this big, just this ball of fear. It was all clumped together. I couldn't understand what any of it was. Until I started to do this work, and I started to put this on paper, and I started to separate these fears out. And I started to look at what the turnarounds were, you know. We kind of looked back, we reviewed them, we went over our past, we looked where we had them. You know, to try to kind of look at the beginning, if you will, you know, where it kind of started. And in a lot of cases, I was able to do that. I remember being sent down to the store by my father to get cigarettes at nighttime. I guess he only wanted to smoke at night, I don't know. But he'd send me down to the store, and I was afraid the boogeyman was going to get me. I'd be 9 or 10 years old. And I used to walk down in the middle of the road because I was pretty quick on my feet, and I knew if the boogeyman came out, I'd have a step or two. I don't know how far I'd get, but... And sometimes, even in my neighborhood, I find myself walking down the middle of the street. I'm not really afraid of anything, but I've been patterned to understand that there's something unsafe out there, and that's the fear. And so I got it down, and then we asked ourselves, was it because self-reliance had failed me? Did my finite will run out on me? Did I have no other options? Did I have to pull a gun on somebody? Did I have to rob that place? I didn't have to do any of that. But the fear of not getting what I want moved me in that direction. And then, you know, again, what could we or should we have done? And, you know, they talk about the turnaround being the trust and rely. And that's what I've come used to today. You know, prayer through my life, the connection I have with my higher power. I go through fearful things all the time. And I realize that I have a higher power. That I could say a simple, that I could say the fear prayer. God, I humbly ask you to remove my fears and direct my attention as to what you would have me be in this moment. Tonight it's just a good AA or part of a group. That's what it is. And there's no fear in the present. Absolutely none at all. And so I use that fear prayer often. I use it before I have to. I use the third step prayer a lot and the fear prayer a lot. I use that a lot before I made some amends. It helped me considerably. But the fear made us outgrow that. You know, it says we commenced to outgrow a fear. It doesn't say it got rid of it. We just understood it. I understood there was really no boogeyman there. I understood that. So I was able to get that bit of courage to understand that, you know, my self-reliance could carry me through this, you know, with a prayer. And then it says, the verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All men of faith have courage. You know, and another, that's another line that comes from the way past. Well, courage is another thing. It's, you know, it's spread across. Courage could be mean just getting in the car in the morning and driving to work. You know, that could be it. You know, for me, I say the prayer a lot when I go into cities or busy places where there's a lot of traffic. It confuses my head. I see everything moving all the time. And so I say that fear prayer, you know. Self-reliance, when my will goes out, I'll be using my, you know, my GPS, and it'll tell me to take a right. And I'll say, fuck no, I ain't going right. I know the best way to go. I'll go straight. I'll go straight for a little bit. Then the voice will come on and recalculate. Take a left at this next turn. I'll say the fear prayer, and then I'll start following those directions. You know what I mean? And I'm better off when I follow directions. I'm not good when I follow my own set of rules. It ain't good. It's just not good. So I'm just gonna close up a little bit by saying that this toolkit of spirituality has been put before us. This fear prayer is just one component in this four step. It's the center one. It's one that I thought I wasn't going to have much trouble with, but it was one that I thought about more than any other. So I got it all down on paper, and then I moved on to the sex. So that's it for me tonight. Thanks.